So, a while back, there was a video that came out showing D&D on Surface and made some people very popular. And I'm here with those people now. So, tell me a little bit about this. How did this start?
So, about a year ago, Michael, Whitney, and myself were on a project at our school.
And can we go around just real quick and introduce each other?
Sure.
Let's start right here.
Okay. I'm Bulut, Bulutkaka, a programmer in the team.
Yeah.
All right. Michael Holm, also a programmer.
All right.
I'm Diala Katanright. I'm the producer on the team.
Mm-hmm. I'm Whitney Babcock McConnell. I'm the third programmer.
I'm Mo Kai Shaw. I'm a 3D artist. I'm Stephen Dewhurst. I'm design and 2D art.
Cool. And so how did this start?
So we're actually a student project at Carnegie Mellon's Entertainment Technology Center, which is a master's program.
Yeah.
Based around semester-long projects. So about a year ago, Michael, Whitney, and myself were on a Lockheed Martin project using the Surface Table. And Mike and Jerry from Penny Arcade, the webcomic, had been visiting the building and came in while we were showing off our other project, not this. And as soon as they saw the table, they said, you know what you need to do with this is build D&D with this.
Yeah.
So we took that idea, recruited the rest of our team, including three members who are not here, Michael Lewis, Diab Baltamimi, and Ethan Roop. And we pitched to the faculty. And so they approved it and said to go ahead and start building it.
Nice. And how long did it take you before someone was actually playing a game?
It took us almost the full semester until you could actually play through a full session.
Yeah.
We had a basic framework early in the semester, about a month in. And there wasn't really a full game until, I want to say, about 2.5 months into the semester.
Mm-hmm. And so you said it's usually a semester-long project, but you've been working on this for a year. So what happened?
So we got great reception last semester from our basic prototype, and we pitched the faculty again to expand on it, to add in a lot more functionality and really flesh out the project. And they said, you know, go ahead and keep working on it. So we're going to, this semester, spend fleshing out a lot of the framework, allowing a lot more customization than we had last semester.
And what's been the best thing about this project? In any sense? Do you like the publicity that you've gotten from it? Do you like the connections you've gotten with Microsoft?
That's been very exciting.
Nice.
Great motivation to keep working on it.
And what's your favorite thing about the project?
I think the mixing of the physical objects with the digital environment is really really exciting for a lot of people coming into the room and playing with the system.
Yeah.
And especially for D&D players, it's a really great melding of kind of the tactile experience of D&D with a system that can add a lot in terms of audio and visual feedback.
So what were your biggest challenges that you had when you were building this?
Well, a lot of the kind of framework we had to build from scratch, so that was up a good chunk of our previous semester was just getting the framework down so that we could actually have a playable game.
Yeah.
And getting, fortunately, Michael and Whitney had worked on the Surface before, so we didn't have to spend too much time getting caught up to speed with that.
So there seems to be two schools of thought on real or virtual dice. So I want to address that. I'm going to do the Dr. Phil here. I'm trying to bring the two together. And so what made you decide to not use real dice, and what's been the fallout from that, if anything?
Well, the problem with using physical dice is it would have required a huge amount of programming time.
Yeah.
And we pretty much wouldn't have had a game.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's, you know, do you want physical dice or do you want
decision.
A game that you could actually play?
Yeah.
I'm sure Michael could speak more to that. putting you on the spot a little bit.
We of course understand where D&D players are coming from, and we understand that they like their dice, and we would love to support that if we could. You know, unfortunately, you know, a lot of people who give comments about the physical dice don't understand the time constraints we're working on.
Yeah,
like we just don't have time to do it. It's not that I don't want to do it. It's not a personal attack against you or your dice. I like your dice. I just don't. We don't have the time to get the dice in the system. Now, we're trying this semester to have some amount of physical dice interaction in the game, and hopefully that'll soothe all the burned D&D players.
Yeah. So let's take a look at this here. Tell me a little bit about this.
We have a Dungeon Master screen that's run on a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
So the Dungeon Master can own his own screen that he can put everything there. He can write notes down. He can figure out what's the next move. And he can put the monsters and fight. And here's the main screen that the characters and players will register their characters. Go on.
So in traditional D&D, the Dungeon Master would have a separate private screen like that where they control the world and all the characters with hidden information.
You want to pick your character?
Okay.
You
want
to go?
I'll let you be the wizard.
No, thanks.
And, oh, wait, hold on. I want to be light blue.
That's a good choice.
So, in normal D&D, players have their miniatures, and we wanted to keep that as as a very central part of the game.
So this part is the map screen that we basically, the Dungeon Master can basically tell the story and show where the adventurers were and where they're traveling.
So you're panning the map and you're zooming in now by turning
it? Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can just move it around. So pan and zoom in, zoom out.
Very cool.
And there's a nice sound if you go up. It says you are too far away. So here's the Dungeon Master tells a story, and he can put up some slides if he wants to. Like, this is the name of the campaign. You're in a town, you just enter a forest. He can just tell the story and show the slides whenever he wants. And when he's ready, he can just proceed to the battle screen. Battle screen. Where you all fight. So we start with putting the starting tiles. If you put your characters here.
You'll see instantly the line of sight pop up.
So that's a big advantage of the table, is kind of where you can see where the areas are blacked out. It can just automate a lot of the math that is normally somewhat of a hassle.
And there are, you see, two orcs in the front. And I can easily see where the players are here in the Dungeon Master screen. And I can see where they cannot see. So I can hide some monsters here. And this is the first time I'm playing five players, by the way.
And does anyone remember who that is?
That's right.
You can use her.
Not on the screen. Oh, look at that.
Wow.
19.
And bam.
Thank you both.
Yeah. Oh, yay. Come on, nat 20. Or 18. Or 10.
Or 10.
It wasn't a lot better than the other.
Nice 3.
And so, one thing that this kind of setup is good for showing is we decided to attach the user interface to these separate objects because, as you can see, if the interface was around one of those miniatures directly, it would be very difficult to actually, choose your options. So that's kind of why we decided to go with a separate object.
Right. Now,
it's also true that you can look up your character stuff, outside the main area. Like, while you're taking your turn, I can still look at the things that I can do without getting in your way.
Right.
Okay.
And you can always just sort of check your health, for instance. I have 22 health. You have 23.
Cool.
Yes, you may.
It's your turn. So
what do I want to do?
I don't know. What do you want to do?
I do not know what to do.
Exciting game of fantasy.
This is
adventure.
My first game of D&D. So
all right,
you can move around. This is the easiest thing. You just pick it up and you see where you can move. The first green one is that means that you can move and attack.
Yeah.
And the second green means you just can move and not attack.
Okay.
And I just put it back. And your control object is the key to your powers. So you can just see your powers. If you want, you can go in and read all the descriptions.
That are all the same.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Totally not the same.
You may want to just pick one and select where you want to hit, then confirm.
Okay.
Now you
roll another dice.
You roll another d20.
No, so this, as it indicates, very small right there.
It's back to you.
You're rolling to see if you actually are successful in your attack.
Mm-hmm.
Which looks like you probably will be. And now that you were successful, now you're rolling to see what kind of damage you'll do.
All right.
And so this was another debate concerning the dice is, most players, they want to see the math. They want to see what's going on. Yeah. But more casual players kind of recognize, you know, it's a computer. You should just make all of that invisible and speed up the flow of the game.
It's much easier to roll dice that way. Mm-hmm. So.
So one of the... Yeah, I can move the monsters from my dungeon master screen easily. But, yeah, attack. It's not too much.
Uh-oh.
As you can see, there are some people that you cannot see.
I have my suspicions.
There might be someone
there. I have
this
feeling. So what do you hope to do with this next?
So right now it is fairly limited in the number of actions and options that you have. And D&D is all about being able to do just about anything.
Yeah.
So we're working to expand the system to allow that level of customization, both on the Dungeon Master side, giving tools to like create custom maps and custom assets to tell their story, and also on the player side to have the support to do a much wider range of actions and to interact in more than just, you know, with... Right now we have a limited skill set for each character and that sort of thing. So very much just expanding the system to allow a greater...
So do you have to, every semester, do you have to pitch this again?
Yeah, it's actually at the ETC, it's rare that a project goes into a second semester.
Yeah.
So a big part of getting the faculty to accept it was to convince them that we were actually doing something new and worthwhile, and which we think we are.
Yeah.
And so they accepted it. But yeah, it's projects don't generally last more than one semester at the ETC. So we were very excited to be able to continue it.
So what is the biggest differences then between... It's probably faster?
A lot of things are faster, yeah. I mean, calculations, it does them all for you. It can remember any of the state information. Yeah, there's sort of this sort of thing, right? Like, if you do that, well, that might not have been the greatest idea.
Great idea. Fantastic
idea.
But, yeah. And you moved. Good job. It remembers a lot of state information, so if a character is on fire...
On fire is important.
Right.
People are always forgetting that they're on fire.
Right,
yeah.
They're forgetting, sometimes on purpose, sometimes not, that they're on fire, right? The computer doesn't forget that you were on fire.
Yeah.
You're on fire.
Yeah.
About narrative.
Narrative.
You just enter a cave, and you see some cave markings on the walls. So you can just push the slide whenever you want and tell more story.
So
go back to the battle.
Even though we kind of skipped the narrative in the presentations, like we're hoping that using slides, having special sound effects or music that the DM can trigger, would actually enhance that aspect of the game.
So tell me about the response that you got from the community. Was it surprising? What was the most interesting part about that? I'm sure you heard from a lot of people.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was very unexpected, but very great, and really motivated us to get going with it. The dice issue that you mentioned was, of course, the biggest complaint that we got.
So, and you asked about the user, the community feedback.
Yeah.
Another thing was we set up an email address, a forum and an email address, and our initial intention was to try to respond to everyone, you know, individually, and very quickly that just became impossible.
Yeah.
It's like, I was spending half my day just trying to compose responses to people, and I gave up. Within a week.
So what is the technology that this is on? What did you use to develop it, and what are the different components here?
So for everything actually on the table, we built it in XNA. However, if you can see on our Dungeon Master screen, that was all built in WPF. And then first network the two to be able to control both.
So they're just both on the network talking to each other.
Cool.
On the table, on the other hand, we wanted to have something that felt really unique, and, you know, like nothing looks, what's the word I'm looking for? Nothing looks like a button or an image or whatever, right? So we did everything custom in XNA, and also originally we were planning on doing 3D graphics on here, and that's definitely more, that's difficult in WPF to do 3D. XNA is made for that. WPF is made for applications.
So for people who want to get their hands on this, where can they go to see this?
So actually, early in March, we're going to be with Microsoft showing this at GDC. And then a couple of weeks later, we're going to be bringing it to PAX. We'll have it available all 3 days for people to come and test out, play around with it, give us some feedback.
So bring a 2-liter of something and just camp out at the table and play. Yeah. All right, well, thanks for showing this to us.
Yep.
No problem.
We'll be here all night playing.